This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We begin by praising Allah Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all worlds, the Exalted, the Majestic. We ask Him to send His choicest of blessings and salutations upon the final messenger, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and every single individual who embraces the prophetic path, the prophetic teachings with ikhlas, with sincerity until the end of time. My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, why sisters? Because perhaps they will listen to the recording later on, they'll watch the video later on. I admonish myself and then all of you all gathered here. I remind myself and then all of you all gathered here for Salatul Jumu'ah to adopt a life of taqwa. And that is to instill the remembrance of Allah, the consciousness of Allah, to be aware that Allah, His knowledge knows no bounds. He is aware of every statement of yours. He is aware of every action of yours. He is aware of every thought that crosses your mind. He is aware of every fleeting glance of yours. We must instill this, O my congregation, if you wish to attain victory, if you wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, and may He make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. Inshallah ta'ala, for today's khutbah, for today's sermon, we will explore an important aspect of our faith, of our iman, of our deen, that directly impacts our daily lives. And this is in terms of how we as believers, we as Muslims, we as followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, how we must conduct ourselves in business and in trade. The title for today's sermon is Cheating in Business, the Fastest Way to Lose Everything. The fastest way to lose everything. I would like to share a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to set the foundation, to set the stage for the discussion. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, "The truthful and trustworthy businessman, the truthful and trustworthy merchant, the truthful and trustworthy entrepreneur, he will be ma'an nabiyyin wa siddiqeen wa shuhada." Subhanallah. Hadith is recorded in the book of Imam al-Tirmidhi. He will be with the prophets. He will be with the shuhada, the martyrs, the ones who gave their lives for Allah. He will be with the siddiqeen, like Abu Bakr as Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. He will be with those who are truthful, those who are righteous. Who? We're not talking about a martyr here. We're not talking about a Hafidhul Quran here. We're not talking about an imam. We're not talking about a scholar, a sheikh, a mufti. No. Who are we talking about? A truthful merchant, a truthful business person, a businessman. So today, the bulk of us, the majority of us, I'd say 99% of us, we're all businessmen. Now you might be thinking, oh wait, I'm not really involved in business. You may not be directly involved in business, in the sense you may not be buying and selling, but the minute you engage in any transaction, you've bought a house, you've sold a house, you've bought a land, you've sold a land, you bought a vehicle, you sold a vehicle, you bought a motorbike, you sold the motorbike. Why? You even bought a phone, sold your phone. You've involved in trade. You've involved yourself in transactions. And these transactions are governed by the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So as believers, We cannot engage in these transactions the way we want to engage in them. The Quran has outlined a way for us to engage. The teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have engaged, in the sense have instructed us clearly how we are supposed to engage in such trade, in such transactions. Three important principles that the Quran and the Sunnah highlight. Three principles, my dear brothers and sisters, that we have to bear in mind. Number one, Al-Adl, fairness, being just. The Quran, our maker Allah Azza wa Jal, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam command us to deal with fairness, with justice, with equity in our interactions. This is principle number one. Principle number two, amana, trustworthiness. The Quran, the Sunnah teaches us that we are supposed to be trustworthy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was not easily known as Al-Amin. Al-Amin, the trustworthy one. Why? Because he was an extremely trustworthy individual. He did not breach his trust. The trust that people had in him, he did not breach it. He valued it. He safeguarded it. And this is why he was known as Al-Amin. So this is a principle that we as his ummah must uphold. So you have fairness, you have trustworthiness, and the third principle, sidq, honesty. Islam commands absolute honesty in all transactions. And this is why, if you look back at the hadith I shared at the beginning, what kind of a merchant, what kind of a businessman will be with the prophets? Will be with the martyrs. Any businessman, any merchant. Today you can be any businessman. Making money. See, the yardstick is not, oh, what is his net worth? How much of land does he own? What is his bank balance? What is the vehicle he drives? What are the watches that he wears? This is not the yardstick. How many companies does he own? This is not the yardstick to gauge the successfulness of an individual. Rather, what did the messenger say? The truthful merchant, the honest merchant. And today, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, this is a very difficult thing to do. Making money, in a way, is easy. There are ample avenues to make money. Ample avenues. And through falsehood, it's all the more easy. But to be an upright merchant, an upright businessman, an honest businessman, keeping to his word, this is hard. This is difficult. Why? We even have people saying, what is the point of me doing it whilst the system is corrupt? Everyone is corrupt. So why should I be truthful? Why should I be honest? Now, this is what is hard. And this is why the reward is so high, that you get to be with the prophets, you get to be with the siddiqeen, you get to be with the martyrs who gave their lives for Allah. Why do you think the reward is so lofty? Because being truthful, being fair, being just in today's context, in today's landscape, is not easy. Today, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, falsehood has become the order of the day. Lies has become the order of the day. Today, most of us cannot be involved in trade or transaction without deceiving, without cheating, without lying. So we have departed far, far away from the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are very particular. Oh, what I eat must be halal. Before going to a restaurant, we check. Is it halal certified? Only then I will go and eat. When the chicken is served, the immediate question is posed to the waiter. Where is the chicken from? Or let me speak to your manager. I need to establish whether it is halal certified. well and good. I'm not undermining this. This is how you're supposed to be. You must verify, you must check. But that same individual couldn't care less if his check were to bounce. He's not bothered. He couldn't care less if there are 50 missed calls from different people begging and pleading for their money. Here he is in a fancy restaurant trying to establish whether the chicken is halal or not before he eats it. But his checks are bouncing left, right and center. He owes the market money. He has deceived people. He has sold inferior products. He has sold defective products. He promised that he would pay on a date, but months have gone by and people are begging and pleading for their payments. He has the money with him. He's deployed the money. He's rolling the money and he's not willing to settle. But here he is trying to establish whether the chicken is halal or not. What is the point? Your source is haram. You've earned the curses of so many people. And you're trying to establish whether the chicken is halal or not. You've got your priorities mixed up, ya miskeen. You've got your priorities mixed up. We don't hesitate to say, you know what, in 30 days I'll make the payment. In 60 days I'll make the payment. But at the back of your mind, you know, no way on earth am I going to pay in 30 days. No way on earth am I going to pay in 60 days. You already have your excuses lined up. How are you being honest? How are you being truthful? Subhanallah. Your check is a promise, a binding promise that you are going to pay bi-idhnillah, inshallah. Yes, if something crippling happens, then yes, you explain your situation. But here you are, some of us even have checkbooks meant for lies, meant for falsehood. Dummy accounts meant for this purpose, just to write checks and give. Yeah, now the banking regulations are becoming stricter by the day. So perhaps it's becoming more and more difficult, but people find loopholes to lie, to cheat, to deceive. And for what? To amass wealth, to earn wealth, to feed who? To feed yourself, your spouse and your children. What are you doing, my dear brother? You're feeding yourself fire. You're feeding your wife fire. You're feeding your children fire. And tomorrow if you die, we all have to die. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. You can be the richest person on planet Earth, but you think you can escape death? You think you can buy your way? You can't. You have to die. You have to go and stand in front of Allah, Rabbul Alameen. How are you going to answer Him? Number one. Number two, do you think that this money that you earn, this wealth that you have amassed, that it is going to last? You think it's going to last? You think your children are going to be happy? Some of us have usurped wealth. We've taken money. We've cheated people. We've given false promises, false returns. And we're living happy lives, thinking that, oh, you know, I have outwitted that individual. I've outsmarted that individual. But no, in reality, you've fooled yourself. You have dug a pit of fire for yourself. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, hadith is recorded in the book of Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. The delay in payment by a person who has the means is dhulm, is oppression. For the sake of business, for the sake of convenience, you may, for example, obtain a loan. You may, let's say, ask your friend, look, I need X amount of money and I will pay it within 30 days, pay it within 60 days. Why? Because perhaps your money is tied up elsewhere. You have a commitment to meet, or there's an opportunity that you see and you know for a fact that you are expecting some payments. You have money. Now what happens? Your friend, I'm just using a friend for this example, he gives you the money. You take the money and you use it. Alhamdulillah, it's all halal. Now your deadline approaches. 30 days, 60 days, you must pay him now. Now what happens? Another opportunity presents itself. The Prophet ﷺ tells us, the son of Adam is greedy. Greedy. Even if he were to, the narration goes along the lines of these words, even if he were to have one river of gold, he would not be satisfied. He would look for the next river of gold. Greedy. So you know now you have to settle the loan. But now another palatable opportunity presents itself, and you're greedy. You go and deploy the money in that opportunity. And now your friend comes on the appointed date asking for the money. And now you make excuses. Oh, you know, this happened, I was expecting a payment, this story, that story. The Prophet ﷺ says, the delay in payment by someone who is capable to pay is dhulm, is oppression. These are not my words. If you think the language is harsh, these are not my words. The words of Muhammad ﷺ, he is saying that you are an oppressor, dhalim. Allah says in the Quran, Inna Allah la yuhibbu dhalimin. Indeed, Allah does not like the oppressors. You have earned the anger of Allah. So, O believer, are you not afraid of that? Or have you become so arrogant that you don't care about the anger of Allah? And then why are you surprised after that when the tests of Allah come your way? Why are you surprised? When you have angered Allah, what else are you expecting? Are you expecting everything to be given to you on a silver platter? No, you have angered Allah. So when you have the capability to settle, do not prolong, do not delay. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, obviously time does not permit and I have to conclude. But there are many action items taught to us by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The importance of honoring agreements. The importance of keeping to your word. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu awfu bil uqood. O you who have believed, fulfill all contracts, fulfill your agreements. The fair treatment of your employees. Today your employee has worked hard for you, but you delay the payment of their wages, of their salaries, the timely payment of wages. The Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, give your employee his salary, his wages, before his sweat dries. This hadith underscores the importance of timely payment and fair compensation for work done. Fair compensation is another important thing when it comes to those who work under you. Good working conditions. Some of us slave drive our employees. Without fearing Allah, we think, oh, I am paying 25,000 rupees, I need to milk him dry. I need to get every ounce of work as possible. You tell him one set of work, but you literally slave drive him. Haram. Dhulm. Oppression. Don't you fear Allah? Hukukul ibad, the rights of the servants of Allah, the creation of Allah. So be mindful, O my congregation. Be mindful of all of this, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. As Muslims, we must lead by example in terms of how we treat those who work for us. We must ensure that their rights are protected. We must ensure that they are treated with love, with care, with respect. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, be transparent in your transactions, full disclosure. Always provide complete and honest information about the products, about the services that you are offering. If there are defects, talk about the defects. Do not hide them. If there are limitations, talk about the limitations. Do not hide them. These should be disclosed to the buyer. Honest pricing. Set fair prices that reflect the value of the product or the service that you are offering. Avoid exploiting market conditions to overcharge your clients, to overcharge your customers. Agreements, have them documented, my dear brothers and sisters, as much as you can. whenever possible, wherever possible, have all of your documents in writing. Detail the terms and conditions very clearly, because this prevents misunderstandings. This prevents disputes later on. Today we are hearing of people going through character assassination, smear campaigns, tarnishing the names of others. Why? Because the agreement was not written. So, even if someone were to come in to mediate, if someone were to come in to arbitrate, it's very difficult. Why? No agreement. One party will claim he said this, the other party will claim he said this. And then at the end of the day, when things go sour, however great the partnership may be, however great the relationship may be between the employer and employee, or the owner and the client, when things go sour, everything goes bad. People start talking bad about one another, smearing one another, backbiting about one another, gossiping about one another. It becomes very, very ugly. On the other hand, if you have it written down, you have all the terms clearly laid out. There is no room, even if there is a dispute, I'm not saying that it is completely foolproof, but even if there is a dispute, resolving the dispute becomes easy. Why? Because it has been documented. And this is why the messenger emphasized so much on this. Sometimes between siblings, between family members, between great friends, people take offense. Oh, you want to write an agreement between us? You don't trust me? People take offense. When one party suggests, let's have an agreement, the other party takes offense. Why don't you trust me? Look, so and so is dealing in the millions with me. And people, subhanAllah, it's absurd. People take pride over the fact, people actually say this, so and so has done transactions with me in the millions, and up till date, not even a single piece of paper. We have not even written a single agreement. Allah protect. May Allah protect you. You've gone against the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever it is, try and write as much as you can. This is the instructions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you don't need to go far to see the logic. Look around you. You can see families breaking apart. You can see siblings not talking to one another. Brothers not talking to brothers. Brothers not talking to sisters. Friends, friendships have broken. Why? Because of disputes. Shaitan comes in between. There is a dispute. There's no way to resolve the dispute. And at the end of the day, sometimes it's difficult to tell who is right and who is wrong also. Therefore, try to document all of this as much as you can. These are a list of quick action items in terms of you know, adhering to high financial ethics in Islam. And lastly, I conclude, my dear brothers and sisters, with emphasizing on regular self-reflection, accountability. Just as you have an accountant who goes through your books, an auditor who goes through your books, you yourself audit yourself. Audit your own actions, audit your intentions, audit your statements, audit how you conduct your trade. Ask yourself, am I being the businessman that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants me to be? Ask yourself, if I were to do business with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how would I do business? How would I do business? If you were to sell a product to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how would you sell that product? If you were to deal with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how would you deal? O believer, ask yourself and set that as the standard with whoever you're dealing with. Inshallah ta'ala, you will aspire for a high standard. You will always aspire for fairness. You will aspire for equity. You will aspire for justice and honesty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help each and every one of us to be transparent with our transactions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to become truthful businessmen, truthful merchants, who will be raised with an-nabiyyin, as-siddiqeen, as-shuhada, and as-salihun. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to stay away from falsehood. May Allah help us to stay away from deception. May Allah help us to become examples in the business world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to become shining examples in the corporate world. May Allah help us to become role models when it comes to business and transactions. Right now, the Muslim community, our name has gone to the dogs. The dogs in any industry. May Allah help us to regain our name. May Allah help us to cleanse our names. May Allah help us to remove the tarnish from our names. Ameen, ameen. Just as how He united us here in this masjid, may He unite us in the gardens of Jannah, in the companionship of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen. Wa akhir da'wayan. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.